I am here today with planetary scientist Dr. Rosalie Lopez of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. Dr. Lopez is an expert on volcanism, both on Earth and on other worlds. She is the author of the cover story, Where the Hot Stuff Is, in the July 2011 issue of Sky and Telescope magazine. She is also the author of several books, including Volcanoes, A Beginner's Guide, which was published in paperback just earlier this year. Dr. Lopez, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You are originally from Brazil, and that's where I first met you at a conference about a year ago. Now, Brazil is not exactly famous for its volcanoes. How did you become interested in volcanoes?
I was in England studying astronomy at the University of London, and I had a class in planetary geology, and I got really interested in that. I thought it was really fascinating. And one day my professor didn't come in, and he sent a substitute, and the substitute said, oh, the professor had to go to Mount Etna because it's erupting. And I thought that was really exciting, so I went to do my PhD with him.
Now, I know you've traveled around the world and visited many different volcanoes. Is there any particular volcanoes on Earth that you find most particularly interesting to study?
I like the basaltic volcanoes like those of Hawaii, like Kilauea in Hawaii, because they are similar to some volcanoes we see on other planets like Mars. Also, I tend to like really active volcanoes where you can see hot lava. So Kilauea has been erupting for many years, and you can usually see something going on there. And Stromboli in Italy, it's another great place because it's always erupting. It's been erupting for like 2,000 years, so you always see some fireworks.
One thing, whenever I see programs on television about volcanologists or read about them in books or magazines, it seems like there's kind of an interesting balance there where you like to get up close to volcanoes, and yet at the same time, at least some volcanoes are potentially dangerous. So how do you draw the line between wanting to get up close and study them, but also doing so in a safe manner?
Volcanoes have different personalities, and you just got to figure out what type they are, and they're very explosive. You don't go near them if they're likely to erupt. In fact, I have another book called The Volcano Adventure Guide, and there I explain the difference between the really explosive volcanoes like Mount St. Helens. You don't want to be anywhere near those if they're going to erupt. And the more quiet type of volcanoes that put out lava flows or small explosions like Kilauea, Stromboli, Yazur in Vanuatu, usually Mount Etna in Sicily as well.
And it's interesting, too, because the article is mostly about volcanoes on other worlds. Now, given that we can't get nearly the level of detail about these volcanoes, what makes you interested in studying them?
Well, I have always been interested in astronomy, and I wanted to study other worlds and be involved in the space program. And I think it's really exploration at its best, because we are seeing volcanoes and we are seeing landscapes that sometimes have never been seen before or have never been seen in that level of detail. One of the most exciting things that I did in my research was when I was on the Galileo team using an infrared instrument, and we were looking at Io, Jupiter's volcanic moon, and I discovered 71 new active volcanoes on Io. That was really exciting.
In your article, you talk about a lot of different worlds, both planets and moons, that have current or relatively recent volcanism in terms of the solar system's history. Is there any particular planet or moon with volcanism that you think can shed the most light on Earth's current volcanoes, and in particular, trying to predict and understand their behavior to save lives in the future?
When we look at planetary volcanoes, we are looking at parameters that don't have on Earth. Different compositions, different gravity, different atmospheric conditions. So in a way, it's like using the other planets as a natural laboratory. We can test some of our models of volcanism on Earth by studying other planets. And one example is when we started studying Io. Io has big, big lava flows like those that happened on the Earth billions of years ago. And maybe the composition of the lava is actually similar to that was common on Earth billions of years ago. So by studying the volcanoes on Io, we can better understand the early history of the Earth.
With Enceladus, we have these plumes that you talked about in your article that shoot, you know, hundreds of kilometers into space and are ejecting water, ice, organics. Really, a pretty exciting discovery from Cassini. Is it really known yet what creates the power that ejects that material with such high levels of force?
One of the things we know is that Enceladus has no atmosphere, so the material is ejected into a vacuum. And that is actually the same situation at Io. The plumes on Io are hundreds of kilometers high because there is no atmosphere, and so the material can expand at very high speeds. But the question about Enceladus that we're trying to figure out is where exactly the material is coming from, if it's coming really from the ocean, shall we say, or if there are more shallow reservoirs of this water mixture near the surface. And the importance of that is that if there are shallow reservoirs near the surface, then that would be a major target for sending a mission in the future that might be able to sample those reservoirs. And as you know, there is the question that some form of life might exist there.
Now let's move inward toward the sun a little bit and talk about Mars for a minute. I've always found it quite remarkable that Mars is a pretty small planet, roughly half the diameter of Earth, and therefore it must have cooled off a lot faster than the Earth, yet it has these enormous volcanoes like Olympus Mons, Ascrius Mons, and the other Tharsis and Elysium volcanoes. How did these volcanoes get to be so big?
Well, the key difference between Earth and Mars, and in fact Earth and other planets, is because Earth has plate tectonics. And so far in the solar system, Earth is the only place where we have seen plate tectonics. And this is a good example of how, by looking at other planets, we can learn about the Earth, because we learn that plate tectonics is not common. Now, if you have plate tectonics, it means that volcanoes don't stay on the same place for a very long period of time. One good example is the Hawaiian chain of islands, that there is a hot spot punching through the crust and creating these volcanoes, but the plate moved. It's actually moving towards the northwest. And so the volcanoes die, become extinct, and new volcanoes come up. And on Mars, we don't have that. The volcanoes can stay in the same place, building up for a very long time. So that is really a key difference. And we also think the lithosphere of Mars is thicker than the Earth, so it can actually support these big structures.
I know that some of these areas on Mars, and you talk about it briefly in your article, that these volcanic areas seem to be fairly young with their surfaces. Do you think that Mars might have active volcanism?
Well, we don't have any signs of very recent volcanism, but, you know, recent in geologic time can certainly mean many thousands of years. So I would say it's possible, you know, and particularly in the form of some degassing from the interior, it may still be happening. There is a question of where does the methane came from in the atmosphere of Mars. So, you know, I would say that, you know, I don't expect to see an eruption on Mars, but there may be some hydrothermal areas, some degassing still going on.
I've always found it interesting that you look at Earth and Venus, and the two planets are very similar in size and mass and therefore also density, and yet Earth clearly has a fair amount of ongoing volcanism. Given that, and given the similar composition in size, mass, and density, shouldn't Venus also be volcanically active right now?
Well, there is a possibility that Venus might be volcanically active now. We haven't detected anything directly, but some recent results from the European Space Agency that, in fact, I think I mentioned in the article, the work was done by Suzanne Shmrikar here at JPL, indicate that there are some areas that relatively recent volcanism, And years ago, there was a suggestion of maybe the levels of SO2 were varying in the atmosphere of Venus. And we really need a new mission to Venus to help sort out this question. But I would say that Venus volcanism may still be going on, not in a rampant way like Io or even frequently active as the Earth, but it may still be active.
Just had MESSENGER a couple months ago go into orbit around Mercury. In the article, you do point to this one possible volcanic vent. I would think it's going to take a while to really start to nail down the history of volcanism on Mercury. Is that correct?
Yes, but MESSENGER has been a fantastically successful mission so far, and I think that a lot of exciting things are going to come out of that mission. And before MESSENGER, there was really a debate of whether Mercury had had volcanism or not, because some people argued that smooth planes on the surface could have been a result of impact melt. So at least we're learning a lot more about Mercury now.
At the very end of your article, you talked about exoplanets briefly, and I know that studies have been done that suggest that some of these more rocky planets that have been found very close to their host stars probably have volcanism. What would that volcanism be like?
Oh, I really don't know the answer to that. Some people who are studying exoplanets think that they might be Io-like, so there might be a lot of volcanism going on in some of these places. For me, you know, because I actually like to be able to see the morphology and the, you know, the shapes of the plumes and so on, to really be able to study the particular volcanoes, you know, exoplanets are still a little far out.
Right. And here's maybe a little bit more of a far out question, and that is, based on the number of exoplanets that have been found so far, I think it's pretty safe to say that there's billions of planets in our galaxy. Now, if you look at our solar system and what you describe in your Sky and Telescope article, we see a tremendous variety of volcanism. So just like Earth is the tip of the iceberg of the solar system in terms of styles of volcanism, that the solar system as a whole gives us just tip of the iceberg of an even greater variety of volcanism that exists in all these billions of planets and their moons.
I hope so, because that's going to make it a lot more exciting for future planetary volcanologists. I think that this is the importance about studying other worlds, is that you start seeing styles of volcanism or styles of geologic processes that you just don't see on Earth. And that really expands your knowledge base, not just your knowledge base, but actually your physical models, because you have to start explaining how is it possible that volcanism occurs on Io without plate tectonics and it's a small body, how cryovolcanism happens in the outer solar system. And, you know, so the subject becomes much, much wider. And volcanism is one of the fundamental geological processes that takes place in planetary formation. So I think that, yes, we are going to find many more worlds with active volcanoes, volcanoes that have been active in the past. And I hope that some of them are pretty exotic, because it will teach us that we don't know it all yet.
That's right. That was Dr. Rosalie Lopez of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Thank you for listening.